You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Job has a big problem. What is it? And how can we avoid it in our lives? Well, that's what our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, is talking about today as we arrive at Job chapter 31 on Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host on this five-year journey through God's entire Word. Now, as you board the Bible bus and find your seat, there are a couple of letters from fellow listeners that I want to read to you. First, we hear from Barry, who recently posted this note on our Facebook page. I'm so thankful for Through the Bible. I'm currently working through Genesis. Hearing Dr. McGee's voice brings me warmth and reassurance, and his teachings bring solid lessons out of the Bible and into my life. May God bless you all. Well, thanks for the note, Barry. Next, we got an email from Eliza. I am originally from Colombia, but now live in the United States. I've been a Christian for 2 years and recently began searching the internet for Bible teaching. That's when I found you. Every day, I've been feeding myself with His Word. Congratulations on this beautiful program that serves as an inspiration to so many people who, like me, are just starting to know the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Through the Bible family, Eliza. We're glad to have you aboard the Bible bus with us each day. Last, we got a note from Rosie. She writes, "Dear friends, I want to express to you my deep gratitude for offering such rich teaching in God's Word. I'm currently following Dr. McGee's study in the book of Ezra. In the past, it has been very difficult for me to maintain my Bible reading, as I would lose focus and never have found a strong motivation to continue on. But with your teaching, I have found this motivation and much more. Dr. McGee's explanations are wonderful, and I feel as though it's a joy to study, not a task. Every day, when the study ends, I want more. Thank you 1,000 times for your love of sharing God's Word with everyone. I wish the best blessings upon this ministry." Well, what's your story? What's God teaching you as we study His Word together? Is there maybe a particular book or a lesson that stands out in your mind? You know, you can email us today at BibleBus@ttb.org, or like Barry, you can leave your note on our Facebook page. And remember, you can also call and leave a voice message at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now let's pray and dive into God's Word together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word and our opportunity to hear it. As it goes out into the world, Lord, please change the hearts and lives of all those who are listening, including our own. In the wonderful name of Jesus we pray, amen. Here's our study of Job 31 and 32 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we're coming here to the book of Job from here on out to that which is obviously the most important part of the book. And I trust you'll remember me in prayer that I might be able to give what is on my heart to give in this section. Great truths that are here that somehow or another it's difficult to lift them out. And these are great truths that are needed today. Now, we're in this last section here. You will recall that we've had a real slugging match. It's been, for the people in that day, more exciting than a boxing match would be today. And these three friends of Job, they lined up against him, and they have really been coming at him. They've attempted to beat him down and make him admit that he's a great sinner, he's committed some great sin. They all approach the problem from a different viewpoint, but they all come to the same conclusion, that Job is a hypocrite, that he's hiding some great sin. And their logic is boiled down to this, that God would not punish anyone as this man Job is being punished. God wouldn't permit it to take place unless the man had committed some great sin. And so it's just as simple as that, and yet as complicated as that, and they're saying to Job, out with it. Well, obviously they have given up. The very fact that the last man, Zophar, didn't answer is, I think, evident that he didn't take his place. So as a result, Job just continues to speak. And you have a lengthy discourse here, and believe me, they teed him off, and he comes out of his corner fighting, let me tell you. And he comes out defending himself. And the very moment that he defended himself, of course, he accused God. And it boils itself down to that. He is saying that God is wrong in this matter. And I suppose that probably the most foolish thing that any person can do is to justify himself, inasmuch as God must impute sin. The very minute that you begin to justify yourself, God immediately will have to point the finger at you and say to you what you are. And real wisdom and the correct position is to condemn ourselves utterly and cast ourselves upon God. And when we do that, God becomes our justifier. And there is nothing but wrath for the self-righteous. And there's nothing but grace for the self-judged. And this is something that is very important. Now, Job, as we saw in chapter 29, 52 times, he uses the personal pronoun I. He's got eye trouble, a bad case of perpendicular eyetus. Now, through chapter 31, we'll begin today with 31, over 100 times he uses this. And there's one thing we can say about the man. He lacks a certain amount of humility, of humbleness. There's no brokenness of spirit here. These friends didn't break him down. And a great many folk have come to the book of Job, and they've congratulated him and patted him on the back and said, my, he stood the test. Well, my friend, what test did he stand? He defended himself, but there's no brokenness of spirit, and therefore the friends never helped him at all. Humility is something today that we do admire in others. I read several years ago this statement, and I took the clipping out of the paper of a columnist, and his headline was this. He writes for the New York Times. He says, Powell, Alley, break the faith, baby. And let me just give you an excerpt from the article, and it reveals something that even today the man in the world looks upon. It says, and I'm reading now, perhaps Adam Clayton Powell's most damaging weakness is his inability to assume the humble manner. The distinguished heavyweight, Muhammad Ali, suffers from the same defect. Ability to wear the trappings of humility is an occupational requirement in certain lines of work, particularly in politics and championship boxing. And he who scorns them invites the vengeance of an outraged public. Now let me drop down and lift out another paragraph. It says, in the same way, Ali might have avoided public demands for his drafting by ceasing to dilate upon his physical superiority. We like our champions humble. After they have flattened some poor gaffer for our amusement, we want them to come to the microphone like Joe Louis and Rocky Marciano and say, he put up a good fight. Ali outrages us by coming to the microphone and calling a bum a bum. May I say to you, that is a characteristic of human nature today, to be proud. And these two men just don't happen to be the only ones guilty of it. They may be a little bit more brazen about it, but that is something that characterizes the human family. Is this matter of pride? This matter of exalting oneself? And so we find this man Job here. And God here wants us, when we come to him, and this book reveals that, he wants us to be real before him. And we can't put up a defense for ourselves. And it's no possible use to try to build up ourselves as if we are some great person or we've done some great thing. For nothing is sure than that everything of that kind must be broken up. The day of the Lord will be against everything high and lifted up. And it is wisdom for us to take the low and broken place. It's the low place that we get our best view of God, by the way, and his salvation. There is a great deal of this coming forward that never leads to real salvation because of the fact that we come in pride. And that is, I think, probably one of the greatest sins of the present hour. And my friend, that was the problem with this man Job. You and I, we can't improve ourselves by trying to lower God's standard or to make out as if he's satisfied with us. And we are in danger if we try to believe that. We need to humble ourselves in view of our failure, but we are to hold on to the great truth of God. Now, we are going to see that in a very special way, that it's the broken and the contrite spirit that God wants on the part of those that are his own. Job justified himself instead of justifying God. And these friends, they condemned Job for that. But they didn't lead him to condemn himself. And this is something important, I think, for us to see, that we must justify God. Paul said, is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. And only when we take the place of an humble and a contrite spirit. I wonder if you've ever noted in the Word of God the references that we have to this matter of being contrite and how God approves of it. Listen to Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You see, that is repentance. That is what real repentance is. When you and I come to that position. And we need to recognize, as David recognized in that great penitential psalm, when he made his confession, he says in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. My friend, you don't come to God to do business with him. You don't come to God to trade with him on equal terms and turn in your little goodness to him. And we need to recognize today that it's this matter of contrition, and you find all the way through. Now, Isaiah, in Isaiah 57, verse 15, he says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now, this matter of being humble and contrite is not only a problem for the politician and the boxer. It's a problem today for those that are in the Lord's service, and for believers, egotism and self-conceit. They are more detestable when it shows itself in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, who made himself of no reputation, and he was humble. Now, how unlike him to see pride today in the lives of those that name his name and say they're believers. Now, the thing is that to reveal today a hateful, unsubdued, self-displayed Christian profession and Christian service. Oh, I tell you, it is something today that is atrocious. And in this section here, I don't think Job looks very attractive. Now, let's listen, actually, to his final discourse here. He'll have another, but he's going to change his tune after this one. Now, I have said all of this preliminary to chapter 31. Now, what we have in chapter 31, he's really patting himself on the back. He continues to do that. And what he's saying here is that he's not guilty of the common, ordinary, sensual sins, but that he's been a pretty good fella. Now, notice what he says, beginning with verse 1. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Now, he makes it very clear that he had lived a clean life. He didn't run around and chase women. He'd not been guilty of that. And he says, for what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Now, he's still pointing his finger to others who commit these things, and he says they're to be judged. But here he stands in judgment, and he just can't quite see why it should come to him. He's such a wonderful fella, and he's about to break his arm patting himself on the back here. Now notice, he says, doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. And he's boasting of his integrity. Well, he's going to come in the presence of God before the book is over, and he's going to see himself. And when he sees himself, he won't see much integrity. Will you listen? If my step hath turned out of the way, mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow, and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. Job says, why, if I've lived like some others have lived, I haven't lived in sin. And yet here's this man, proud as he can be. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I've laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another. Let others bow down upon her. In other words, why, he says, why, if I've done this, then let my wife be taken, if I have been unfaithful and untrue. And I take it that all the things Job is saying about himself are accurate, except he has that blind spot. And that blind spot is, these things have led him to defend himself before his friends, and he just can't let up. He must boast about himself. Now, there are Christians like that today, and I personally think that to see a child of God boasting and living in pride today before others, my friend, it's as bad as if he'd gone out with a gun and murdered someone. It, I think, is lots worse than if he got drunk. This thing today of pride among Christians, and that's one of the things that makes our churches so cold. We got saints sitting there that I want to tell you why they think they're all right. Now, my friend, if you're in Christ, you're saved. But your life today doesn't, I don't care who you are, your life is not measuring up to God's standard at all. Now, let me just hit some high points here. Verse 13, he says, if I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me. In other words, he says, I was a capitalist and I was good to labor. And there are not too many that can say that. And of course, they choose on the other foot today, and labor's not being too nice to those of us that are the consumers either. But the point is, friends, that Job could say that he had been considerate of others. Now he says, verse 16, if I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, he says, I have done this. My, this man is boasting, is he not? Verse 19, if I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, and he helped the poor. Job had a poverty program long before anyone else ever had a poverty program. And verse 21, if I have lifted up mine hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, and he took care of the orphans. Now here he goes over this ground again. This man is boasting of these things that he did, and I take it that he did these things. But he's lifted up with pride. And now that he's in trouble and he says this, what he's saying is, God is wrong. God is unjust in treating me like he is. And there are a lot of Christians that are saying that today. Oh, my friend, if you and I can get to the place where we can praise his name above everything and see ourselves down in the dust and take our rightful place there. Now listen to him in verse 29. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him. He said, I didn't rejoice when my enemy stumped his toe and had trouble. Verse 32, he says, the stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If I covered my transgression as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom. And he says, why, I just been out with it. Well, he's confessed everything except one thing. That's pride. He hasn't confessed it at all. Verse 35, oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. Surely I'd take it upon my shoulder, bind it as a crown to me. What he's saying is this, I let my enemy write out what he thinks of me, put it around my neck like a necktie, and walk up and down the street and say, look, friend, this is what my enemy says about me, and he praises me. I want to tell you, my friend, Job is boasting here. This man is boasting. Now, these three friends give up. Chapter 32. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. And that, of course, is true. He's righteous in his own eyes, but he's not righteous before God, as we shall see. Now, this all took place before a great crowd that had gathered around the dump heap, because this was an exciting thing for people in that day. Now, the three friends are through. They fade into the distance. And to all intents and purposes, Job has won, but he hasn't won. Now there stands there a man, he's a young man. He hasn't opened his mouth so far, which is unusual for a young man today to keep quiet as long as he did. But this is a very intelligent young man, and now he speaks. He can't withhold himself any longer. His name is Elihu. The name means God himself. And he now is going to speak out. And I tell you, he's going to have a great deal to say. He saw that the friends, they had no answer for Job, and that there were two things. Listen, verse 2. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram. Apparently, he was a member of one of the Arab tribes in that day. Against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. Now, he justified himself rather than God, which meant he's saying God is wrong. God has made a big mistake in my position. Now, he's going to speak. And also against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. They hadn't been able to put their finger on the real problem of Job, and yet they were condemning Job. They had not helped him, which is quite obvious. Now Elihu is going to speak. Now, actually, he doesn't have the answer, but he's closer than the others were, and I do think he prepares the way, finally, for God to break in upon this scene. And then we're going to get some information from headquarters that all of us need. We'll be moving along through the book of Job now. We only have a few more studies here. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
You know, Dr. McGee is right. Our study of Job finishes a week from today. If you've missed any of these messages, you can find them at ttb.org. You may also want to download your free copy of Dr. McGee's digital booklet titled Job, A Man Stripped Bare. After our study of Job, the Bible Bus departs for a study in the New Testament letter of Galatians. I hope that you're going to make plans to hop aboard with us. If you want to prepare yourself, you can download your free companion for our study called Briefing the Bible. This digital resource contains Dr. McGee's complete notes and outlines for every study in our 5-year journey, including Galatians. To download your free ebook version, visit ttb.org/briefingthebible or request an abridged printed copy in the mail. If we can help you find that, call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Next time on Through the Bible, we'll see that although Job's three friends had no answer for him, a young man named Elihu might have something important to say. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you.
Jesus made it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Today's study is always available, free to stream or download, thanks to the generous and faithful investments from your fellow Bible bus travelers. Just go to ttb.org or download our app to listen again anytime. As always, we'd love to know what's God teaching you.
Listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Lord. Glory to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity today to, wherever you are, to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and hearing the unadulterated Word of God. We thank the Lord for your listening ears and everything that you're doing, members that are in the body of Christ, and even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Your opportunity is still available as long as you have breath to breathe this air that God has allowed you to breathe. Praise God. We love you and we thank God for you. Well, today we want to talk about the kingdom of God. Many people at some point have forgotten that the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul spoke about the kingdom of God. And I'm speaking this morning, praise the Lord, about the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not just in word only. Now I want you to get a hold of what I'm talking about. It's not in just word only. The kingdom of God is in power. Glory to God. I said power. Praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The power. Glory to God. And I tell you, when we demonstrate this power, praise God, because first of all, Jesus has told us, glory to God, that the power resonates on the inside of us as children of God. My body, praise the Lord, and I want you to grab this before we go further into this message here this morning, is that the Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of God. So if your body is the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you, praise God. Do you realize what I'm saying? The Spirit of God dwells or live on the inside of you. The Spirit of God is power, praise God. And this is why we allow the Spirit of God to direct everything that we are doing. We submit ourselves to His leadership, praise God. Because the Spirit of God is power in our lives. And when we pray for folks that are sick, who's on the inside of us becomes an external expression in power, not just in word, praise God, and bring forth deliverance or healing in the lives of the people. Praise God, because we don't depend on our ability or our strength. We depend on who is on the inside of us. Glory to God. I remember Jesus saying, well, it is not I, but it's the Father that does the work. Praise God. I'm saying here this morning that it's not me, but it's the Spirit of the living God that dwells on the inside of me. Praise God. When I pray for folks, lay hands on those that are sick, decrepit, whatever the problems may be, I want to tell you, I believe that the work is done. Glory to God. I said, I believe that the work is done, because the power of God, the kingdom of God, is on the inside of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember when Jesus was casting out devils. Praise God. A lot of folks don't want to hear about devils, but I want to tell you, there's one devil, but there are a host of demonic spirits. So what happened is that Jesus was casting out devils, and what happened is that they couldn't believe, and they were saying that, well, he was casting out devils by the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. But I want to tell you, they blaspheme God. But I want to say this here this morning, that when Jesus spoke, he said, if I cast out demons or devils by the finger of God, glory to his wonderful name, that must mean that the kingdom of God has come nigh you, up upon you. Praise God. I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is power. It's not just words. And many people say, well, yeah, well, I believe in the kingdom of God. Well, demonstrate that power that's on the inside of you. Glory to God. Let it be demonstrated. Apostle Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in the demonstration, glory to God, of the Spirit and of power. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you if you are born again. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, in your body is God's temple. Let there be a manifestation of external expression that will come from you, glory to God, on an outward deliverance and healing and whatever the Spirit wants to do, glory to God. It's an external expression because of the one that dwells on the inside of you. It is not you in the natural. It is the Spirit of God, glory to God, that is doing that work in and through you. Praise God. The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You have, as a child of God, you have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Glory to God. And you are now, as a born again believer, you are in the kingdom of God. If you believe it and know who you are and by faith have received that, you are in the kingdom of God. Now the word of God tells us that you've been translated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's where you are. And you're in a kingdom that resonate, that has power. I said power, glory to God. And in that kingdom, there is a king, glory to God. And his name is King Jesus, glory to God. Somebody out there right now in Radio Land should be shouting that it's King Jesus, glory to God. You're in his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son, praise the Lord. And in that kingdom, there's power. I said there's power, praise God. And not just a kingdom in just words, but it's a kingdom in power, praise God. The name of our God. Minister Gloria, listen, you know, we're talking about the kingdom of God. And I tell you, this is what God wants us. See, the word of God tells us that before you do anything, he's given us instruction. Praise God. Minister Gloria, you want to read that verse of scripture today in Matthew? Praise God.
Matthew 6. But I like to read the 25th verse first. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink.
Glory to God.
Nor yet for your body. On is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But you see, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first. That's number one. Uno. The first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Praise God. Seek the kingdom first. And most folks, what they do is that they seek other things first before they seek the kingdom. But I want to tell you, whatever's going on in your life today, I want to tell you, seek the kingdom first. Praise God. Because there are many things that are operating in the and through the kingdom of God. And if we seek the kingdom first, as the word of God tells us, seek that kingdom first. And he said that he'll provide everything else. If I understand that scripture correctly, he says here to seek ye first, not second, nor third, but he says seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or perhaps seek the kingdom and his righteousness or the way that God does things. Praise God. This is what we need to do, is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, and all other things will be added unto you. That means that when I seek the kingdom of God first, God's going to take care of the rest. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You see, because what we do is that we go around, we try to get everything else in order, and then say, well, now I've got all my ducks in a row, so now I'm going to seek the kingdom. But that's not what he said. He said, you do this first. Amen. You seek the kingdom first, the kingdom of God first. And then he says, and all these other things will be added unto you. Well, what are those things? My God, everything that was previously mentioned, he will add those things unto you. And not only that, give you a fruitful life. Praise God. Bless you abundantly. That's what he will do. Glory to God. Because we are depending on him and not on ourselves or our abilities in terms of what we are able to do. But I want to tell you, this kingdom that I'm speaking of, my God, is a kingdom of power. And there's so many places today, you know, there are folks that are sick inside the church. There are folks that need deliverance inside the fellowship. There are folks that need all kinds of problems inside the fellowship. And I want to tell you that that are in the body of Christ should know who we are in Christ, know what he has done for us on Calvary's cross, know that our body is God's temple and his spirit dwells on the inside of us. And I tell you, the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost should be demonstrated in our lives as children of God. My God, no wonder folks are leaving. They don't want to see all of this mundane and humdrum way of religion. They are looking for something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're looking for signs, my God. And what's happening is that all they're seeing is some old stale operation that's going on where God is not there. But I want to tell you, through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, we walk around, we declare that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us, then demonstrate. I want to say that again. Demonstrate this power. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, demonstrate this power that's on the inside of you. Don't talk about the power, but demonstrate the power. Most of us go around and we say, well, yeah, the power is on the inside of me. Well, I want to tell you that Apostle Paul said that he didn't come with enticing words. We don't need to entice people. We need to demonstrate the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. I said, demonstrate the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. And if you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you, because that's where he would take up residence, your body would be his temple, and his Spirit is dwelling on the inside of you. Glory to God. And there would be a manifestation of an external expression. Glory to God. That's why when folks look at you, they see that there is something different about you. And when you pray for them, glory to God, they get blessed. Hallelujah. Not because of what you're doing, but because of the one that dwells on the inside of you. Praise the name of God. You know, Apostle Paul was telling us that the same Spirit, hallelujah. Are you listening to me out there in Radio Land? The same Spirit, hallelujah, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. I'm talking about resurrected power. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the glory of God. My Lord, my glory to God. Hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, that power is the power of God. The power of God is on the inside of you. Everyone that is born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have the power of God operating in your life. And this is why we need to stop talking about power. We need to stop talking about the kingdom of God and demonstrate this kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The word of God tells us that the kingdom of God is not just words. It is power. Hallelujah. I said power, glory to the name of our God, among many other things. Hallelujah. And this is why when we demonstrate this kingdom that's on the inside of us, hallelujah, I said this kingdom that is on the inside of us, glory to God, the kingdom of God, glory to God, Mensa Gloria.
Right, in Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, anything fleshy, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Say that again.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. The kingdom of God. Glory to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Oh, my goodness. You know, folks going around there talking about the kingdom. I tell you, we all speak about the kingdom. We tell people that we are in the kingdom of God. We tell people that the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We say these things. But I want to tell you today that folks out there, not only in Radio Land, but folks that are sitting in fellowship, that's why the congregation is dwindling down, because they are tired of talk. We are talking about something that we don't possess. We are talking about power that's not on the inside of us. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land? Folks want to see something. I said folks want to see something. They don't want to just hear words. And all of us are guilty of it. My God, when we lay down at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in prayer and allow his anointing and his power to be demonstrated in and through us, glory to God, folks will begin to see the signs, hallelujah, that there's a real, real power that's demonstrated in and through you, glory to God. Many folks today are just looking at some old dead preacher in a dead church preaching a dead sermon. There's no life to it. But I want to tell you, this thing is supposed to, by the power of the living God, be demonstrated in our lives. I remember when I was growing up, folks used to say, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Glory to God. He's on the inside and he's working on the outside. Oh, what a God that we serve. I'm telling you, it's power. And all of us, we should be praying, saying, Lord, help us that your presence and your power and your anointing and everything that you represent that have taken place in our lives should be demonstrated so that folks can see that you have truly, number one, have called us. That's the first thing, that he has called us. Because whom God has called, he demonstrates his power through them. Now, that's what the word of God says. Now, you can look at Matthew 10, and you can see when Jesus called his disciples together, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. And he commanded them, so you go. He didn't say, pray for the sick. He said, you go and you heal the sick. That's what he said. Don't take no purse. Oh, my God. All of us depend totally upon me because I'm going to make way for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I tell you today that we are depending upon ourselves. We try to prepare a script. We try and do all of these things here instead of depending on the Holy Spirit. All of us are guilty. I said all of us are guilty. There aren't any that's exonerated from what I'm talking about. We all are guilty. But the time is coming. And it's now where we, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, will sit at the feet of the Master. Listen to Hakabashakelebocha. Listen to his voice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen to the voice of Jesus and say, Master, glory to God. Teach me more. Let your presence be manifested in and through me. Demonstrate your power. You are the king of this kingdom that I'm, my God. Demonstrate your power through me. Praise God. And I tell you, many folks will see the signs. I said they will see the signs. Glory to God. Because that's what they're looking for. This is why people are running from one church to another. They're just hopping over from one church to another. They are looking for something. Glory to God. My Lord, they're looking for signs. They not only want to hear somebody saying, well, yeah, I got the power, but there's nothing demonstrated. I'm telling you, out there in Radio Land, we all are guilty. Let us lay at the feet of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in and through us. Glory to God, because you're in the kingdom of God. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We know who we are. We are children of the Most High God. We have the power of God operating on the inside of us, but we must let it be a manifestation. Many people are claiming the power is on the inside of them. Well, demonstrate that power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said demonstrate that power. My God. Let that power be manifested through you. Praise God. It is not you that's doing the work. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. My body is the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me. Let the Spirit of God be manifested so that the work can be done. Glory to God. So folks can be healed. Folks are sitting in churches confused, oppressed of the devil. But I want to tell you, it shouldn't be that way. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let the power of the Holy Ghost be demonstrated in your life. Glory to God. And in those that come for prayer, those that need healing. You can't heal anyone. It's the healers on the inside of you. Glory to God. You can't set nobody free. It's the one on the inside that sets folks free. Glory to God. through the truth of his word. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Mr. Gloria, hallelujah. I thank the Lord for his power. Glory to God. I know who I am, and you should know who you are in the kingdom of God. The Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of us. Glory to God. I remember Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he told them, he said, listen, the king, they're looking for a sign. They're looking for the kingdom. See, natural eyes looking for a natural kingdom. But Jesus told them, said, my God, he didn't say my God, but Jesus told them, said, listen, the kingdom of God does not come by way of observation. In other words, you don't see this thing. There's a demonstration of this kingdom. Hallelujah. What he said, that the kingdom of God does not come by way of observation, but the kingdom of God is in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, when he said that, the Pharisees were looking for a natural kingdom, but there is no natural kingdom. This kingdom is not with observation. Praise God. And I still look at that verse of scripture where he told them that the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God is within all of us that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because the word of God tells me that I've been translated. Glory to God. I'm in that kingdom and the kingdom is in me. Praise God. I said I'm in that kingdom. And that kingdom is on the inside of me. That kingdom is power. Praise God. Folks today are tired of just hearing lip service, organized sermons, all of this stuff that they do in their own ability instead of allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to be manifested in their lives. I say we all are guilty. Some folks go to the internet and get their sermons and give to the church. But I want to tell you, we must depend on the one that is on the inside of us. And that's the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He dwells on the inside of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lay at the feet of Jesus. That's figurative language. Lay at his feet. Depend on him. And allow him to manifest himself in us. I tell you, we all are guilty. But today, after you heard what I said, you can, you have the opportunity to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to manifest his presence in and through us. Praise God. I thank you all out there in Radio Land for listening. And just remember what the Word of God says. As a born-again believer, you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Until the next time, I pray for your safety and pray that you will hear the voice of God, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. God bless y'all. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.